This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, March 11th. I'm Gavin McGough.
And I'm Julia Caulfield.
In today's headlines, contested race brings crowd to Democratic caucus.
Telluride talks facilities and Carhenge housing.
Capital Conversation brings a mid-session check-in.
And a mountain weather forecast. But first, KOTO is the voice of the Valley. Everyone has equal opportunity to deliver a message via KOTO's public access programs, such as commentaries after the news and access each weekday at 4 p.m. Show your support for these important programs by going to KOTO.org to donate. And thank you.
It's March 9th. The San Miguel County Democrats fill the program room at the Wilkinson Library, spilling from time to time into the hallway. Seeing the masses, many marvel at the crowd assembled on a beautiful Saturday afternoon.
But I do want to thank everybody for being here on such a beautiful Saturday. So many of my friends are here in their ski gear, so thanks for getting off the mountain to come support.
That's Telluride Town Council member and a declared candidate for County Commissioner, Geneva Chanette, greeting the room. The Democrats, many, yes, in ski boots, gathered for their 2024 caucus. This first step in the election process will set the ballot for the party's primary on June 25th. But before it comes to decision-making, local candidates are invited to speak. Galena Gleason is running to fill Chris Holstrom's seat as county commissioner for District 3. That's Norwood in the West End. Taking in the crowd and staring down the narrow aisle, or perhaps shoot, at the room's center, Gleason continues the ski metaphor.
This is scary and exhilarating. I don't know if anybody's ever skied the San Joaquin, but this feels
Gleason, who lives in Norwood, spoke of county values.
The people of San Miguel County have always had a deep connection to the land and have been inspired by the astounding beauty that resides here. In my district, I would like to see the agricultural livelihood play a stronger role in our regional economy. This will create a stronger economic backbone and allow people to stay in the community, all while giving back to the land.
Gleason does not face a Democratic challenger. Her race will come in the November general against Norwood Mayor Candy Meehan, who is running for the District 3 seat as an independent. In the county's first district, that's Telluride in Deep Creek Mesa, there is a primary contest as Chanette challenges the incumbent commissioner, Ann Brown. Chanette touts her record on town council.
Collaborative decision-making is more than a buzzword. It's a principle that guides how I govern. I'm focused on prioritizing community needs from finding homes and childcare options to adjusting the general cost of living in the region. I want everyone, from immigrants to retirees, newcomers, and generational families, to know their needs matter.
In her remarks, Commissioner Brown speaks of her experience as the incumbent. Brown has served as commissioner since May of last year, when she was appointed following the resignation of Hillary Cooper.
Don't worry about the time I've invested in this. That's not your concern. What is your concern is the hours spent by paid staff and elected officials who invested in my education and training. I think it'd be a waste to squander this community investment when, frankly, I think I'm doing a solid job.
Conversation rarely touched on issues of concrete policy. However, Brown, who lives on Deep Creek Mesa, did wish to clear the air about the hot-button housing development, which has taken the community by storm.
And I am not against Diamond Ridge. I repeat, I am not against Diamond Ridge. As a private citizen at the time, I urged the BOCC to wait for more information. What I say is yes to an open public process to decide the future of Diamond Ridge.
Attendees spoke for nearly an hour in favor of both candidates. Party Chair Eleni Constantine notes the turnout evidences a high level of engagement and concern amongst voters here, even with only one contested race, that between Chanette and Brown.
This is a very, very well-attended caucus. I think the only other caucus I've attended that was similar was the caucus when Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were vying for the presidential nomination.
Following remarks, attendees vote on delegates to represent them. In order to appear on the ballot, a candidate must receive support from at least 30% of the total delegates. Both Brown and Chanette clear that threshold. According to the San Miguel County Democratic Party, Brown received 16 votes. Shawnette received 13.
Telluride Town Council meets on Tuesday with facilities and public works on the docket. But that's not the town's only meeting of import for the day. In this installment of G's for Government, Council Member Geneva Shawnette shares what's coming up. Hey Geneva, thanks for joining me for G's for Government.
I wouldn't miss it.
So Telluride Town Council is back on Tuesday. You have two work sessions coming up in the morning. What are those ones looking at?
So the first work session is going to be led by Zoe Denal, our deputy town manager. And we are going to be talking about a study that we commissioned with a consulting company of all town owned municipal buildings. So if you think like the Parks and Rec offices and Rebecca Hall and Town Hall and Public Works and all of the places where we have offices where town staff do business, and sort of assessing what kind of needs we're going to need in the future, what the status and the maintenance requirements are for some of these really old buildings, and some options for ways to move forward to sort of improve our facility distribution and serve our staff and the public better with our buildings. And the second one is going to be a presentation from our Public Works Director, Kyle Beck. We're going to be talking about all of the large public works projects that we are working on this year as a town. We had a really big capital budgets chunk of money transferred into make all these projects happen. And so we're going to hear updates on those, scheduling, and just fix some stuff that's been needing to be fixed for a while.
Got it. So that's the morning. You said that it's interesting stuff, but maybe not the spiciest of town meetings tomorrow. Anything else in the meeting that you think folks might want to listen to?
Yeah, in the afternoon, we have a discussion at 2:10 about festivals having to do with size and local ticket options, things like that. So for folks who are always tuned into the special event festival discussions on town property, we'll be discussing that in the afternoon. And then really what I think is going to be more interesting to many people is happening in the evening at the AHA. It's going to be a discussion about Chair 7, Carhenge, that whole neighborhood. The town of Telluride and the ski resort are working together with a consulting company to do a public process on planning that area together. Even though we own property separately from each other, it's all right next to each other, and we want it all to be a cohesive development plan. So we are embarking on the very first steps of that public process. We had a meeting today that I came here straight from, actually, to record G's for Government at 1:00, but we're having a second meeting at AHA, 5:30 till 7 p.m. You can tune in on Zoom. Go to engagetelluride.org to get the Zoom link and all the information. And it's a really cool kind of survey style presentation where public can interact and give feedback. And we really want to hear as much as possible from the public about this really important area of the town that's going to be developed out to more than what it is now.
Perfect. It's a big day of government on Tuesday. Geneva, thanks for coming and chatting with me.
Thank you so much.
Colorado's General Assembly hit its midway mark over the weekend. KOTO State House reporter Lucas Brady Woods talks about what's still to come. Hey, Lucas, thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me.
Of course, happy to be here.
So the legislative session is just about halfway through. First off, from your perspective, how does it feel being, at this milestone in the legislative session?
You know, it feels like there is still a lot of work to do. And I'm definitely not the only one that feels that way here in the building. One of the Republican senators this morning on the Senate floor actually said that as far as he has seen, there's about 2/3 of the work still to do, even though we have half of the session left. So he predicted that there might be some long hours and late nights And he actually said senators should bring their slippers and maybe their pillows. There's some big bills really still working their way that have a long way to go around housing, around gun control, around mental health, you know, the environment and air quality. These are all issues that are still on the table and have bills still pending. So there's a lot of work there to do.
Yeah. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there is there's a certain time frame, right, that lawmakers are allowed to submit bills by. How does that kind of work with what we can expect to see coming up for the rest of the session? Is everything that is on the table already on the table, or could things continue to get introduced as we continue to go through?
That's an interesting question, because there is technically a bill introduction deadline at the beginning of the session. Now, that said, that deadline is sort of a fluid deadline, and lawmakers often get permission to introduce bills late. You know, last year we saw some very sweeping bills, including, you know, the very controversial but also, you know, very prominent housing bill that came in right at the end of session.
Yeah. You mentioned the senator who is recommending folks bring their slippers and pillows. From a reporting perspective, what does the second half of the session look like for you? What are you excited to kind of dive into as we head into the latter half of the General Assembly for this year?
I'm really excited to see, you know, a lot of these policies come to some sort of resolution, whether they fail or they don't. But there are some really interesting bills out there around transit-oriented housing and you know, public transportation. And I'm interested to see where those go. And I'm also keeping my eyes out for some bills that I hear are coming soon around some racial equity issues that I'm very interested to look at as well. You know, some of the bills that have been brought up that are sort of big ticket items have sort of taken a pause and are waiting to go through their next stage in the process. So some of those I'm sort of on the edge of my seat about. But there's a lot to be interested in and a lot to, I'm sure I'll be surprised by certain things, which is always exciting.
Well, Lucas, thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me. And yeah, we'll keep checking in as we head into this second half of the session.
Well, thanks for having me as always, and I'll talk to you next week.
That was KOTO's Lucas Brady Woods reporting from Denver.
ChatGPT, robots, autocorrect. Artificial intelligence is everywhere. But how does it work, and what does it really mean for our world? That'll be the topic of conversation at a What is Artificial Intelligence event at the library on Tuesday. Telluride resident Charlie Treadwell, founder and CEO of AI company Tomorrow Today, will lead the conversation, answering your questions about AI from the basic to the complex to the theoretical. The What is Artificial Intelligence talk will take place at the Wilkinson Public Library on Tuesday, March 12th at 5 p.m.
Get your snowshoes or skins ready. The Telluride Foundation's fourth annual Ski Dola is coming to town. The winter equivalent of the Rundala, the Ski Dola is an uphill race starting from the base of the gondola in Telluride and finishing at the top of the ridge by San Sofia Station. Racers gain nearly 2,000 feet in elevation any way they can on snow, either by snowshoe or skis or skins. The race is a fundraiser for the Telluride Mountain Club's Peter Inglis Avalanche Education Fund, which aims to create opportunities for avalanche education and backcountry awareness. The Ski Dola will take place on Thursday, March 14th, starting at 5 p.m. Any and everyone is encouraged to participate. Registration is available at runreg.com/skidola.
With the 2024 election season in full swing, voting rights advocates are closely monitoring any barriers to voters' access to the ballot box. In Colorado, the Native American Rights Fund is working to remove the obstacles that Native voters consistently face. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Clark Adamidis of KSUT and KSJD has more.
Tribes have historically faced barriers to voting. They faced issues like addresses, identification, zone redistricting, access to polling sites, and access to mail-in voting. Allison Nesswood is a staff attorney at the Native American Rights Fund, an organization based in Boulder that works with tribes nationwide on voting laws and litigation. Nesswood says Colorado is a good example of a state enacting policies to increase tribes' access to voting. Last year, Colorado became the first state to include Native American tribes in automatic voter registration.
They passed a policy around allowing the tribes to provide lists of their voting age members so that they could be automatically registered to vote, to really streamline the process of getting Native people registered to vote.
In addition, Nesswood says the state established voter centers for tribes.
Basically a one-stop shop for voting, right? You can register there, you can pick up a ballot there, you can vote in person, you can take the ballot with you and vote. That really had a positive impact on turnout.
In contrast to Colorado, Nesswood says tribal voting rights in Arizona have been under attack.
In 2021, the Arizona State Legislature passed law that said people also had to provide documentary proof of location of residence, photo ID or some other kind of document that include your address on it. We were very concerned that a lot of Native Americans don't have addresses. And the way that we describe the location of our residence is like 3 miles past the blue pinyon tree, turn right, and then go 4 miles down the road past, you know, milepost 10 or something like that.
Nesswood says that litigation against this Arizona law succeeded in tribal voters' favor.
What the judge ordered that the law couldn't be interpreted to require an address.
The Native American Rights Fund is trying to build bipartisan support for a Native American Voting Rights Act in Congress. The act would bring robust voter access to reservations, including polling places, early voting, and mail-in ballots. For KSUT and KSJD, I'm Clark Adamitis.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for clouds tonight with a low around 25 degrees. Tuesday should bring increasing clouds throughout the day and a high near 40. Snow showers are likely Tuesday night with accumulations around 1 inch and a low in the mid-teens. Expect snow, heavy at times, to continue Wednesday and Wednesday night. The high is around freezing with a low around 20. This has been the news for Monday, March 11th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206.